Please turn in your Bibles to Colossians 4, verse 18. Thank you, Craig, for the privilege of preaching. Colossians 4, verse 18 says this. I read from the English Standard Version. And before we read, I think we should stand. All of us just stand. And I want you to put your Bible in your right hand. All of us stand. Put your Bible in your right hand. I actually wanted to have the Bibles here for people who don't have the Bibles that we could give them. Just say after me, I believe that this is the Word of God. It's the truth. It will remain the truth. If I apply this Word, my life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, Amen. Colossians 4 verse 18, Paul writes this, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, remembering my chains, grace be with you. Now, in preparing for this morning, when I read this, I write this greeting with my own hand, I thought that they have dictaphones in those days or computers. What does it mean to say, I write this greeting in my own hand? It's never occurred to me. I've read it so many times. And the commentaries apparently says that, and also there are many places in the Bible which says that Paul, most of his letters, he didn't write himself. He had a scribe. He had a sort of PA that was writing down for him. And some of the commentaries says that in Ephesians and in Galatians, Paul talks about two problems which he has. One, he's got a problem with his hands. And in the other one, he's got a problem with his eyes. And some commentary says that Paul had a hand deformity and he couldn't write with his hands. And I think in Ephesians he said, I write this to you in big letters. And some commentator says that they believe that was Paul's problem. But when he says, yeah, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, he basically authenticates this letter to be his own. He tells the people that the rest of Colossians, I dictated, but this one, I greet you in my own hand. And it's so important. Our signature today is an important instrument in our hands. Yesterday, I wanted to buy a gift voucher for my secretary at the mall, and I had to put my signature on it because the FICA regulations require that. So when you put your signature, you authenticate what you are giving. And Paul is saying, this whole series on Colossians, I have authenticated by writing to you and greeting you in my own hand. And this morning, if we end this wonderful series, we trust that God will authenticate not this series with a pen, but that He will authenticate the series in our hearts. He says in Jeremiah, He says, I will put my scripture in your heart. He says in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, I don't want you to be like a letter with ink written on a piece of paper, but I want my spirit to be in your heart. The second thing when Paul says, he says, I write this greeting with my own hand, and then he says, remember my chains. Now that's a bit of a condemnation statement, isn't it? You know, you guys sitting out there, just remember, I'm in jail. Just remember, you've got a lack of life and I'm not. But the commentators say that's not what he means. What he means by that is Jesus says that I have come to set the captive free. And if I say, remember my chains, remember those people in our midst who are not as privileged as you are. That is what he's saying. And then the third thing, and that's what I want to speak on, he says, grace be with you. Now, I've grown up in a Pentecostal church, and I remember as a child, at the end of each service, and it was a very holy sort of moment, the pastor would raise his hands like this, and he would say, grace be with you, and the communion of the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes, you know. So initially, I thought, why does he do this? And when I get out of the church, I've forgotten about those words. And we even find in our service often, Craig at the end of the service would say that. But what does it mean? You know, so often we hear things in church and we don't know what it means. And we walk out here and we forget about what was said right at the end. Grace be with you. The commentator says that means blessings be with you. So if we walk out this morning, out of this service, we've experienced God's Spirit. But God's Spirit in the service will not carry you through tomorrow. What will carry you through tomorrow is knowing that you are blessed. If you don't feel something tomorrow, let me tell you, when I stand in court, I very seldom feel the Spirit of God. Okay. Very, very seldom. Perhaps you feel the Spirit of God where you are, but I very seldom feel the Spirit of God. But what keeps me grounded is the knowledge that I am blessed. That keeps me grounded. The word of knowledge, the word of the Lord keeps us grounded. It's so important that we know that, because if we know that and if we grab that, we don't have to have a chill up our spine to know that God is there. We don't have to experience that. If we realize that we are in fact blessed. Now let's see what the Word of God says when He talks about what is blessing. And that's my first point. What is blessing? Just go to Deuteronomy 28 for me. What is blessing? If I ask you, Gary, what do you say? What is blessing? A favor, okay? Let's make it more practical. Because what is blessing? What does blessing mean? If you say you're blessed, what does it mean? Okay, realizing the desires that you have. What do you say? Overflow. What do you say, Sarah? What is blessing? Putting you on the spot. You, Corbin, are you laughing for? What is blessing? What does it mean? I'll ask blessing now what blessing means. But Corbin, what does it mean to you? It's a gift. Okay, but let's make it practical. What does blessing mean? What is the favor of the Lord? Make it practical, Raymond. It goes well with you in all areas. Daar praat Afrikaner. David, what does it mean? I'm peace. That's very holy. These are very holy remarks. I've got peace of God. And that's all great. But let's get practical. What does blessing mean? Yes. God gives us what we need. Yes. Okay. That's fine. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Meryl. Okay, removal of sin of God's grace. Get practical. What does blessing mean for us here on earth? I enjoy my work. Yes, Solo. You're successful. What else? Health. Yes, you get it? You get benefits. What else? You enjoy yourself. Do you see how difficult it is for us even to say what is blessing? It's even difficult for us to say what is blessing. And I sat down and I said, God, your word says in Deuteronomy 28, it says this from verse 2. It says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city of Peter Maritzburg, and blessed shall you be at 34 Court Wallace Road. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb with your daughter Amor, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as people holy to Himself. And He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Verse 11, and the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. In the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasury. Come on! He says, the heavens to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. What does blessing mean? Let me tell you what blessing means. In my personal life, blessing means the following, and we do it on a regular basis, and whenever I pray personally, Lord, I thank you that I've got 2 feet and toes. That's blessing. Thank you, God, that I've got legs. That's blessing. Thank you, God, that I've got hands. Thank you, Lord, that I've got arms. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a bum to sit on, that I've got eyes to read, that I've got ears to hear, that I've got a mouth to... That's blessing! I don't thank God for my big tummy, because that's not a blessing. Ek vreet te veel. Verstaan jy? But that's not blessing. But do you understand? We don't understand what is blessing. We don't understand what is blessing. Vreet te veel means I eat too much. Okay, for those of you who don't understand, I forgot. That's a personal blessing. And it was quite interesting for me when I asked you what is blessing, that we talk up in the sky, which is very spiritual, but blessing is practical. Blessing is practical. It's, yeah, it's right. What other personal blessings I have? In my life, one of the greatest blessings I have is my wife. The fact that my wife has forgiven me, the fact that my wife has stayed with me and that she loves me, that's blessing. That's blessing. You know, the fact that my wife dresses so well and she looks so nice, that's blessing. When I get out of the house and my wife is next to me, she dresses to kill, and I love it. That's blessing. That's blessing. I have never have to shame, for the last 30 years, I have not once had to be ashamed of the way my wife dresses, because she takes pride of how what she looks, because she's standing like next to a very, very handsome and great guy, so she has to look good. That's personal blessing. You know what? A personal blessing is the fact that my wife makes such lovely food. Look at my stomach. That's a personal blessing. It's a personal blessing that my wife has made the biggest friends with her daughter. That's a blessing. Guys, we've got to get practical in our relationship with God. Sometimes we're so up there that we forget what's going on here. One of the personal blessings which I have is to know that my daughter's with me. After 25 years, I'm blessed because she's got a boyfriend. Now, I don't know who of you have seen the film Surf's Up. Have you seen the film Surf's Up? It's about penguins surfing. And there's a guy by the name of Chicken Joe. Have you seen Chicken Joe? So we've been praying for Amor for years that she will get a boyfriend. Listen to this. I want you that she will get a boyfriend that is extremely handsome as her dad. And she got one, okay. We've been praying that God will give her a boyfriend that's got lots of money, and she's got one. That's blessing. Although he walks like Chicken Joe and you know, that's fine. But that's blessing. You don't understand, we've got to take God's word to the ground. We've got to apply it to the ground. The fact that when he came out the other day, I saw him for the first time, and when he came out, his underpants were sticking about that far out. I just wanted to pull his pants up, you understand? That's not so much a blessing to me. But then I heard his story. He's a scratch golfer. He swam provincially. And the blessing is I could speak to him and I could say to him, don't sleep with my daughter. The first time I met him, I said to him, I just want to tell you, we Christians, and you don't sleep with my daughter. We don't believe in premarital sex. We don't believe it. That's a blessing. And this young man could say to me, thank you. I won't sleep with your daughter. We've already spoken about it. That's blessing. That's blessing. Let's get to the church. Let's get to our congregation. What is blessing to me? To me, the blessing is that that Craig preaches the Word of God and puts the emphasis on Jesus in this church. That's blessing. The fact that he loves the Word and he encourages the Word, that's blessing. What is blessing to me? The fact that Shannon loves the people, that she counsels people. We are experiencing blessing in this church because of that. Something which blessed me is when Christy and Wayne got married. Having walked with Christy for a long time, and at their wedding, they were standing and they had their hands up in the air. They were worshiping God. That's blessing. That's blessing. When David and Ethel got married the other day and Ethel walks in, I feel it in my fingers. I feel it. That's blessing. That's blessing. We sometimes think that blessing is up there. Blessing is here. When I experience blessing, I think of Dave who's got a heart for young men, for the fatherless. It's blessing. I think of his wife who loves the Holy Spirit and she does this the whole time. I've never done it. I'm so envious. But she loves God's Spirit. That's blessing. I think of Benson and Beatrice. I think the way they love their children. And I look at their children and I see the fruit of their work. That's blessing. That's blessing. I think of Rob and Claire and I see how involved they are with their children. I went on a boat with Sarah and Rob. I've never seen a girl with such good manners in my life. For the whole afternoon, we were complaining we were not catching fish, especially me. I hate it when I fish and I don't catch fish. Ask Vickers. And she was just there, just being a beautiful girl. Guys, we've got blessing amongst us and we don't understand it and we don't grasp it and we don't see it. So if God says to us and if Paul says to the people, blessings to you, grace be to you, experience it and see it. In our assembly, you know what blesses me is these young guys sitting there. Every Sunday, they're sitting there and they're following God. I think of blessings. I think of Francis and Stephen, two young men. I've been in this church for 16 years. They've been exactly the same. That's blessing. I think of Keith. For 16 years, he's been exactly the same. Serving God. A man of God. That's blessing. We don't see these blessings around us. I think of Bertha and Patsy. They've gone through cancer. They've made it. They're here. That's blessing. I think of all the single mothers like Meryl and Gertrude and all the others that come to church. Some are not single. Meryl's not single. But their husbands, some husbands are, don't serve the Lord, but they come. That's blessing, guys. That's blessing. I think of Jackie, whose daughter falls pregnant before she gets married, and Jackie embraces her with the love of God. That's blessing. That's blessing. And this, the minute we realize that we have blessing in our midst, that we must open our eyes to see it. I think of Melinda. The first time I asked her to come and do worship, she was so scared she could hardly open her mouth. I had to say to her during practices, mark your mond oop and smile. Now she leads worship. That's blessing. I think even of Rob, when he started, he couldn't even play a piece of guitar. He didn't even know what a guitar looked like, I think. Today, he's the worship elder in the church. Guys, this is blessings that we have, And if we don't understand it, and if we don't see it, we can't dream it. If we don't see the blessing around us, how can we dream for something greater? If we don't experience the blessing around us, how can we dream of something better and greater and more majestic? If we say to you, if I think of blessing, I think of the childlike faith of Rob Niggerton. Speak to him. Sometimes he speaks a bit too long, and the story is a bit, but it takes a bit too long. And I just want to push him on a bit and say, just get to the story. But childlike faith you've never seen in your life. That's blessing. I think of Raymond, who's got the driest sense of humor that you can ever see. And that's blessing. We experience blessing in this church that we do not appreciate enough. When last have you been in a lily white? I don't know what the opposite of lily is. It lily black? What is it? Pitch black. All right, lily white. When last have you been in a church that's either lily white or pitch black? It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. I went to the church. I don't even want to go to a lily white church anymore. Or do a pitch black church, or for that grass green church. I don't want to go to any of those churches. We are blessed in what we have this morning. Experience that. So do you understand now? Blessing is not just money. Blessing is not just money. It is also money. If you've got money, stop feeling guilty about it. It's lekker to have money. It's lekker. You don't have to feel guilty. God's favor is on you. And if you've got a dream to have lots of money, then go for it. Young men, dreams come true. Dreams come true. Now, how do we connect to these blessings that I've spoken about? Let's go to Galatians 3, verse 13. Does the idea of blessing now give you a broader idea of what blessing is? Galatians 3 verse 13 says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. I want to say to you this morning, there is no curse on your life. There is no curse on your life. If you want to connect to blessings, you've got to know, realize what Jesus did on the cross. There is no curse. There is no forefather curse. There is no curse that can stand against the blood of Jesus Christ. And we walk around so often with curses and say, my mother cursed me, or my mother's mother's aunt's mother's cousin cursed me. Especially if you're an Indian, my mother's cousins, you know, they cursed me. There's no curse on you. Is that right? Yeah, my mother's cousin. I can't say it. Okay. There's no curse on us. We are blessed. Now I want you to say it, I am blessed. Now I want you to say it with some conviction. I am blessed. Come on.
I am blessed.
That's what Jesus did on the cross. Secondly, go to Romans 15:29. Romans 15:29. It says this. I know, 15:29. I know. I'm blessed this morning because Louise is putting up the scriptures as I'm going through. That's blessing. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning that one of the worst things that we as Christians experience is not to know that we are blessed. Many years ago, somebody taught me, when I asked him, "How are you?" he would say to me, "I am blessed." And I've been saying that for the last 14 years. I don't care who phones me. And somebody asked me, "How are you?" I say, "I'm blessed." I speak it because I am blessed. You don't have to be special to be blessed. You must just be a human being. Because the Word of God says in Genesis 1:27, He says, when God created the man, He blessed them. We blessed. Let's go to Isaiah 61 and see what the cross further did for us. You see, so often when we look at blessings, we think that blessings only pertains to sin. That's one of the greatest blessings that we do experience, is the fact that on the cross Jesus Christ took our sins upon Him. But the cross is far more than just the forgiveness of sins. The cross is far more than that. In Isaiah 61, it says this, let's read from verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, what? To bring good news to who? To the poor. He has sent me to bind up what? The brokenhearted. So in Jesus, God wants the poor to be rich. He wants the brokenhearted to be touched. He says this, to proclaim liberty to the captives. If you are sitting here this morning and you are bound by stuff, Jesus Christ says, my blessing in you will set you free. You will no longer be a captive to that. He says this, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim what? The year of the Lord's favor. If you lived in the Old Testament, there's a special year of the Lord's favor. If you understand God's grace, every day and every year is God's favor on us. That's what the cross does for us. It says in verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort who? All who are mourned. So not only does He take our sins away, He takes our tears away and He gives us comfort. He says this, He's to grant those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. That they may be called oaks of righteousness. We are an oak of righteousness. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, He made Him sin so that we could be what? Become the righteousness of God in Jesus. That's why we've got to read the Bible together. If He says in Isaiah 61, we will become the oaks of righteousness, we are an oak of righteousness. Isn't that lucky to hear? Isn't it lucky to hear that we are blessed? Let's go to Isaiah 53 quickly. It says this in verse 3-5. Let's go to verse 4, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What did Jesus do on the cross? He's taken our pain and our griefs. He's taken upon Him. Not only our sins, because He knew that in this world we will experience pain, we will experience sorrow, we will experience grief. He knew on the cross that we will experience tears, but He says, I want to comfort you. I want to take away your pain, your tears, and I want to give you comfort. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But what? He was on the cross, He also dealt with our sickness. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that bring us peace. Do you understand when I say to you the cross is far more than sin? It's far more than sin. He takes our sorrows and He gives us joy. He takes all our iniquities upon Him and He sets us free. He was chastised so that what? We could have peace. He took our sorrows so that we can have joy. He took our griefs so that we could have joy. He took our sickness so that we can be healed. He died so that we can be alive. We are blessed this morning because of the cross. It's far more than just our sins that have been forgiven. Realize that this morning. And with His stripes we are healed. I want to just tell you, give you a testimony. We've been praying. A girl that works with Amor. She was working with Amor, my daughter, for a week, and she was in a tremendous motor vehicle accident. And on the Sunday night, I went to the hospital. I've never met her. And when I, nobody stops me at a hospital. No sister, nobody. I go in. Doesn't matter what time of the day, I go in because I want to pray for people. And it's amazing. I'm just blessed. They just open the door and I go in. It just happens. You can ask my wife. It just happens. When I want to go to the mall, I get a parking close to the mall. I don't stop far. I stop close by because I'm blessed. So when we go to the mall, my wife says, you drive because you always get a parking close by. Guys, we've got to accept that we are blessed in Jesus Christ. And when we know that, we can live it. We can start proclaiming it. But it's lacquer for us to suffer. We like it because God is now working on me to cut out the edges. It's time that we realize that we are blessed. I don't enjoy suffering. I don't enjoy it at all. If you do, God bless you for that. I don't. But what I want to say to you is this. So I walk into this hospital room, and she was in a coma. And as she was lying on the bed, God showed me a picture of her sitting up straight, and she's going to be fine. And I started proclaiming it from that very minute. I said to her father, your daughter will wake up. Your daughter will wake up. That Thursday night we had a prayer meeting. God gave the similar vision to Rob Evans. He doesn't even know that girl. Rob came and we went to pray for her. God gave a similar vision to Nigel. And Nigel said, God just showed him she's going to smile. She was in a coma for 2 weeks. Last Saturday I drove down to Durban. She's walking. She's speaking. She's smiling. Guys, it's time that we realize that by His stripes we are healed. It's past tense. It's in the past. We are healed. But it's God's will. God's will is that you get healed. If you don't get healed now, you will and die. You are healed because you're living forever. But you will be healed. We've got to accept, secondly. So we've got to know what the cross means. We've got to know what Jesus did on the cross. We've got to accept that to connect to blessings. We've got to accept that. Secondly, we've got to accept that we are blessed from the very beginning. I don't care if you come from a household where there is no father. I don't care if you come from a household of an underprivileged situation. I want to say to you, if you are here this morning and hear this message, you are blessed. God says that we are blessed. But it's not lacquer to say you are blessed when you don't have food. It's not easy. It's not easy to say you are blessed when you don't have running water, when you don't have a car. But you see, what we must realize, irrespective of your circumstances, you are blessed. And I want to say something outrageous this morning. I want to say to you, bad is good. I'm going to say it again. Bad is good. Because there's not one bad situation in the Bible or in our lives which God does not turn into good. So if we stop wondering where the bad is coming from and seeing who the good is and what he's got in store for us, our life changes. So bad is good. Because the minute you're in a tight spot, what do? You're focusing what? On the answer. And on the fact that Jesus Christ wants you to be blessed. Thirdly, if you want to connect to blessings, you've got to proclaim what God calls you. Go to Colossians. Let's just see what God calls us in Colossians, in the book of Colossians. And there are many more. I've just taken out a couple. Firstly, Colossians 1 verse 12. What does it say? It says, we can read from verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the light. You are an inheritor of the saints of the light, and we've got to say that, and we've got to proclaim that, and we've got to live that. But it's far easier for us. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to meet the end of the month. Oh God, there's a receiver of revenue. I don't know how that's going to work out. Oh God, I don't know whether I've got to get food. You know what? If you focus on that, it will consume you. If you focus on the good, it will consume you. It will consume you. So we are an inheritor of the light. Let's go to Colossians 1 verse 13. He says, he has delivered us from what? The domain of darkness, and transferred us to what? To the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So one, we are inheritors with Jesus. He has taken us out of the darkness and put us into the light. Come on, people, get excited this morning about what Jesus has done for us. Colossians 1:22 says this. He says, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless. We are inheritors. He's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness. We are holy and blameless. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror in the morning? And do you say to yourself, I'm holy and blameless? It's time that you do that. Even you ladies without makeup on, say to yourself when you get up in the morning, I'm an inheritor of Jesus. I'm no longer in the darkness, although my eyes look like they're in the darkness. And I am now in God. I am blessed. I want to say to you that this works. You know, they say we've got to practice what we preach. My heart's desire is that I will preach what I practice. I say that again. My heart's desire is that I will preach what I practice. And when it comes to blessings, I think by the grace of God, I think I've just seen and experienced the tip of it. Because he wants to bless you. Colossians 1 verse 27 says this. It says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we are now inheritant. We have inherited. We are in the kingdom of Jesus. Christ is within us, the hope of glory. Get a smile on your face and say, Christ is within me, the hope of glory. Colossians 2 verse 9 says this. It says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all ruling and authority. What does that mean? The fullness of God lives within you. You're awfully quiet for people that's got the fullness of God living right within you. Colossians 2 verse 13 says we are alive. And I can't go through the rest. Colossians 2 verse 14. Colossians 3 verse 3. Colossians 3 verse 12. Brothers and sisters, if we don't grab this, we will not be living victorious lives for God. Colossians 3, the next point that I want to make to connect to God's blessing is we've got to get to know God's Word. Colossians 3 verse 16 says this. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. These are just scriptures in Colossians. The next point that I want to make is you've got to see the blessing in blessing other people. If you don't have money, you can bless somebody by just making a good comment and say, listen, you know what? I like your dress. You know what? Your hair looks different today. It looks nice. That's how you bless people. By giving of yourself, you bless. And if you do that, then you connect to blessings, because the more you give of yourself, the more it will come back to you. If you've got money to give, give money. But we've got to connect to the blessing. The next point that I want to make is pray God's word over your life. Brothers and sisters, if you don't pray God's word over your life, you will not succeed. God's word that we pray over our lives are so important. Isaiah 54 verse 17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Psalm 1 says, blessed are those who does not walk in the way of the ungodly. Psalm 23 says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 91 says, he gives his angels authority over us. Deuteronomy 30 says, I want you to choose life. Do you see, if the word becomes a reality and we start praying the word of God over our lives? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 to 18 I've dealt with already. If you feel hopeless, Psalm 118 verse 17, let's quickly read that. Psalm 118 verse 17 says this. He says, I shall not die, but I shall live. If you feel sick, 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, by his stripes we are healed. If you feel you cannot do your work, you say, God, Philippians 4 verse 13, God, through you I can do all things. If you feel weak, then you take 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 to 10, which says, God, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. If you've got financial trouble, then you say 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9, where God says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Lastly, if you want to understand, to connect to blessing, you have to understand grace. You have to understand it. You have to understand that God is for you, not against you. But I want to ask you this morning, and I'm finished. I want to ask you this morning this question. Are you experiencing God's blessing in your life? And if there's blessings in your life which you're not experiencing, today is the day that God wants to change that. If we don't leave here stirred, it serves no purpose. If you think of Paul, every single of the 15 books that he wrote, he ends with, may the grace of God be with you. He ends it. May the grace of God. 1 Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, all of these, Titus, Hebrews, Philemon, James, all of these, he ends with, may the grace of God be with you. Why? Because he wants us to understand that. The last scripture in the Bible is, may the grace of God be with you. I want you to say, God, I'm blessed. I will not look back again. Lord, I will say that bad is good. I will focus on the good and not on the bad. I will focus on the victory and I will focus, oh God, on the joy and not the sorrow. I will focus on the life and not the death. I will focus on the peace and not the chastisement. I will focus, oh God, on the light and not the darkness. I will focus on Jesus. because I am blessed. Your word says, I have got you in my life. I am an inheritor of you, Lord. I am excited about you. Come on, folk, let's speak to God. Let's say to God this morning, God, I am blessed. I want to hear you. Death and life lives in the tongue. Let's say to God, God, I am blessed this morning. I am blessed this morning because of Jesus. It is in me. In every sphere of my life, I am blessed. I am blessed, God. I am blessed. Lord, you will take care of all my needs. You say you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, you'll remove the sickness from my body. Lord, there's no curse which can ever come against you. You have dealt with that. You take my mourning and you give me comfort, God. You take my beauty for ashes and you give me, O Lord, a garment of praise, O Lord. Lord, you set the captives free this morning. I am free. I am blessed. I am blessed. Praise God. I am blessed. If you have got financial pressures, it's time that you realize if you've got financial problems, it's time that you start giving to this church like that it hurts you. I want to say that to you categorically. Every single time I put my tithe in, I get money that I don't expect I'm going to get. It happens to me every single time. Ask my wife. She stands here and I'll tell her. This week I paid my tithe. Within 2 days, I got money that's been outstanding for a year. Do you think it's just coincidental? No, it's not. It's Jesus because I'm blessed. But we don't want to believe it. I can see even in some of your eyes, you don't want to believe that you are blessed. Because you don't understand to see the greatness and the goodness of God. Stop enjoying suffering. Start experiencing blessedness in Jesus. I really believe God wants to speak to more people this morning. I really believe that you've got to, there's a barrier. I can sense there's a barrier. Bad is so bad for you that you cannot understand that bad is good. And God wants to remove that in the name of Jesus this morning. And He wants to set you free for now and forever. Financial, there are so many people financial without work, etc. in this congregation. God says, I want to now let you focus on that I am your provider. You are blessed. Brothers and sisters, don't walk out of this meeting this morning not realizing that you are blessed. Don't go out of this meeting this morning not realizing that you have got the fullness of God in you. Don't go out of this meeting this morning and start walking in victory. Despite of what your circumstances are, you can start walking in victory because you are blessed. Thank you, Father. Lord, I want to proclaim this morning, Lord, I'm proclaiming that I am blessed. My wife is blessed. My daughter is blessed. My workplace is blessed. Everything, oh Lord, that I touch is blessed. I'm proclaiming it in the name of Jesus in front of this congregation, Lord. I am blessed when I come in. I am blessed when I go out. I am blessed in my field. I am blessed in my work. I am blessed in my body. I am blessed in everything I do, oh Lord, because you are my provider. And I proclaim that in Jesus' name, oh God. I proclaim that in Jesus' name. I proclaim, oh God, your blessing over children that don't know you, that you will save them. I proclaim your blessing over those children. I proclaim your blessing over husbands that don't know you, God. I proclaim, oh Lord, your blessing, oh God, over brothers and sisters that don't know you. I proclaim your blessing, oh God, over the finances, God. We will see 100,000 rand next year in this church. We will see it in Jesus' name. We're proclaiming it, Lord. All the riches are in you, Lord. Make us realize it, Lord. Help us to stop enjoying suffering, oh God. And let us enjoy, oh God, the victory in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us stand. Amen.